Chapter 4, Zechariah 4, verse 6 will be our one verse. Amen. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's read that again. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If the Lord will help me, I just want to talk a little while on look up and go forward. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Touch us, each one, Lord. Bind us together with cords that can't be broken. Stir us and supercharge us with your spirit, Lord, tonight. Help us to be the men and women of God you've called us to be for this very hour. And I know we are. But help us to fulfill your work and will in our lives and in our church. Lord, tonight, save the lost. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, Lord, as you stir us and use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Look up and go forward. Too many times we spend a lot of time looking around, don't we? Many times we try to, this scripture here, you know, it talks about not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. I think of might. Of course, a lot of times we want to say might, you know, as in strength, and certainly that applies. But also, a lot of times we lean on the might of our intelligence, the abilities that we have within ourselves. We look at that as our might, or then also the power, the strength, the ability to get it done, to make it happen. These are both terms most of the time that link to that of the natural, and it's something that we like to do. Whether we're facing a natural problem, a physical problem, or a mental one, or a spiritual one, we tend to want to handle it all in the flesh or in the natural. When I say in the flesh right now, I'm not saying that you're like being worldly, fleshly, but simply we try to do it ourselves. Man, I'm notorious for that. I face a situation, first thing I want to do is try to figure out how to handle this myself. And sometimes I'm a little too slow about calling on the Lord first. I put him on the list. I don't mean to do this, but I just attempt to take care of it, especially if it's something I've got myself into. If you ever get yourself into a fix and then you think, I got to get myself out of this? And a lot of times I end up making it worse. I've had trucks. I've gotten them stuck, or cars, gotten them stuck. I'm determined to get myself out. Now, years ago, if this offends you, I don't mean for it to, you know, but years ago I seen a movie. It was Conniger, and it was with Sam Elliott, and he's a cowboy's cowboy. You've heard of a man's man. Well, this dude's a cowboy's cowboy. And Sam Elliott, he played this movie Conniger, and he left home to go round up all these cattle that had gotten loose for the guy he worked for, and he's out, and he runs into all these cattle thieves, and it's going to look rough. And some lady asked him, she said, do you need my son to go with you and help you? And he said, if a man leaves home and has to ask for help, he didn't have no business leaving. All right. So that's the cowboy way, and I kind of adapted that as my motto. And but you know what? I found out that sometimes when cowboys leave home and don't need to ask for help, they still end up having to ask for help. You can get in a situation you just cannot get out of. And I've done that. I've got myself in circumstances. There was no escape, and I've tried. And I'd try to get that old truck loose, and I would rock and spin until I bury it to the axles, until it's going to take a D6 dozer to get me out, because I was determined to do it on my own. We do that in the natural, but we also do that with spiritual situations that we should never do that with. We're no match for the devil on our own. Me within myself, without the help of Christ and the assistance of the Holy Ghost, I'm not a match to the devil. And we can jump up and scream and holler and say we're going to charge hell with a water pistol. We're going to fight. We're going to go bear hunting with a switch and all those kind of cool slogans. But when it comes right down to it, buddy, if the Holy Ghost ain't leading you, you're in trouble out there on your own. So we've got to realize that. Now, we're living in a day and in an hour. We need spiritual help. We need the leadership that only the Holy Ghost can give us. There's no other plan of God for your life other than that of certainly being born again, but then being led by the Spirit. Unfortunately, somewhere or another, we're in a day to where there is very little seeking of the Holy Ghost from the saints of God. Even those that have been filled with the Holy Ghost years ago seem to try to want to operate without the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Folks, this is killing us. As a church and as individual men and women of God, as family members, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, we're getting killed in this battle simply because we're attempting to do all these things, or so many of them, on our own. We look for a better plan, a better idea, a better slogan, a better this. You know, I need a better projector. I need one. And now I'm hating that we didn't get one with Bluetooth or wireless. And we need a better this and a better that. And we need to tighten up the carpet. Got some wrinkles. We need to do things. We need a sign out there to draw people. The reason people ain't finding us back here, we ain't got a sign way out yonder at the front. Now, I know all those are issues that we could work on and be great, but I can tell you what's going to draw more people and have more of a positive effect in our community, and that is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on God's people. Amen. There's not going to be anything that changes the lives of our young people. There's not going to be anything that draws people from your work. I know, because I've seen our churches have revivals in such a way that it didn't seem like you was telling anybody much about it, but yet everybody's hearing, hey, I heard about what's going on down at your church. Hey, I heard about, what's going on over there? What's happening down there? If God can have his way here, he'll see to it people can find us. He always has done that. I mean, we've heard from years gone by how that people said, you know, I was driving by and just something drawed me over here. Something led me down this way. Something told me to call you. Something, you know, it's the Lord. It's the Holy Ghost and his drawing ability to help us be what we're supposed to be so that men that need help can find us. Amen. It works that way every day, every hour, every moment in the will of God. It works by being led by the Spirit of the Lord, not by our own might, our own skill, our own power, our own abilities, and who we know and what kind of connections that we have. I know that is a neat thing. We like it, but nothing can take the place of the Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question. After looking back over the years, and please, hang with me for a minute. I'll try not to preach too long. I'm going to set my clock up here so I can watch it. Not that I'll look at it, but there it is. But, you know, you think back now. We can go back Brother Morton's day. We can go back my day. Some of us here been around. And you go back to real, honest revivals that you can remember, okay? I'm not talking about some big hodgepodge of wreck somebody made. I'm talking about a real Holy Ghost revival where people were getting saved, where people were getting filled with the Holy Ghost, where people were getting healed. You think about what kind of services they were. It wasn't because the music was dynamic. It wasn't because the preaching so much was dynamic. It was because the Holy Ghost was dynamic, because he found a place. He had the freedom to work and move and do his work and will. And in doing that, things happened that nobody else, you couldn't explain it any other way than it was God. You couldn't, and you didn't want to explain it. Now you tell me, why do we think that today in 2011 we can improve on that? We think, we can't do all that old stuff like them old folks now. Now them old people, you know, and all that old Brother Morton now, he's older than dirt. We need to do something. No offense, Brother Morton. I mean, that's what some people say about me and you, okay? I mean, you know, oh, man, and that Brother Mitt, why, you know, and that James, oh, you know, them guys, man, good grief. I mean, she's from another whole time zone. I mean, what'd she do? Catch the back of the future ship or something? Where'd she come from? You know, I can tell you where she come from, where they come from. They come from a time when men and women didn't have insurance, and when men and women didn't have computers. They didn't have projectors. They didn't have praise teams. They didn't have eloquent preachers. They didn't have exciting Bible programs to help them preach. They didn't have seminars every other week. They didn't have all that. They had one thing, a desperation for God Almighty, and if he don't help us, we're all sunk. And because of that, they leaned on God in a way that he moved miraculously, and if we don't get back to that, folks, we're ruined. Amen. If we can't get back to that, we're ruined. Now, I want to tell you something. I appreciate I love my Bible programs. I like my little tricks. I love Mickey's little flat thing he's been a packing. Amen. I like all that stuff. I love technology. I like it. I'm excited. I love our singing. I love our equipment. I like all that kind of stuff. I love my four-wheel drive truck. But I love God more, and I know that if I can get him, he'll make everything else work just right. We can have all the best of everything and have it all ironed out just right. But if we don't have the Spirit of God, folks, we're nothing more than a sound of brass, a tinkling cymbal, and it just ain't going to work. Amen. That's the reason our young people can sit there and pass notes and talk and rattle on and talk about other things and wish this thing was over. It's because God's not moving here and things are not happening. So they get bored with us and they're more interested in something the world's got to offer. But oh, if the Holy Ghost will show up, He'll make them either run to the altar or run out the door. You can't hardly take one or the other. You got to do something when you come into the presence of God. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You know, I tell you, too many times when we try to do things on our own, we make a wreck of it. Moses is a great example of that. Moses tried to do some things on his own. Now, he knew that God had a call on his life. I don't know if he knew the whole of it. I'm sure he didn't. But he knew that he was a part of the Hebrew children. But he was still living in Pharaoh's house. What'd he do? He'd come out one day, checking on his brethren. Here's what the Bible said. And it came to pass, Exodus 2, verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he espied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, the Hebrew was. And he looked this way and that way and he saw that there was no man. He slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. What's Moses doing? He's doing it by his own might and his own power. He knows that his people need to be delivered from this Egyptian bondage. And there was something inside of him telling him, hey, this is what you need. You're a part of God's. I mean, there was a natural desire in him to see his people freed and to see those that were inflicting the pain put down. But Moses took matters into his own hand. And all he done was make a mess of what God was wanting to do. Yeah, he slays the guy. Look at him. He's looking this way. He's looking that way. He's trying to check out and see if anybody's going to see him. Listen, when God moves on you to do a work for him, you ain't going to slip around and be looking this way and that way like a sheep-killing dog. You ain't out here trying to slip around and do something. Man, God's called us. We're able to stand up, square our shoulders back, and walk out like, I'm not talking about in pride, but like men and women of God that have confidence in what God is able to do. Oh, for us to be able to do that again, to have confidence in our God and not in ourselves. That's the reason that we hold our head down, we're afraid to say, I rebuke you, Satan. The reason we're afraid to look the devil in the eye, the reason we're afraid to cast out devils and call things like they are, is because we're leaning on our own understanding and not on God, and therefore we know we're no match for the devil, and we feel inferior to him. But when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, you better look out. That's Holy Ghost boldness that is not afraid of a bear or any other thing, because God is on board. And when he is, man, I want to tell you, you feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Amen. Because God's on board. He's involved in what's going on. And you know that, and that brings confidence. That's what changed the disciples from what they were cowards only a few days before. But now, after being filled with the Holy Ghost, these people are bold. They're being beaten. Their lives are being threatened, and they ain't backing down from nothing or nobody. They're only involved in doing one thing, the will of God, and doing it His way. Well, because Moses got all stirred up and done things on his own, next thing you know, he's running. He's hiding. That's exactly what happens to us when we try to do things on our own. We make a wreck of it, and pretty soon we're off hiding somewhere. We're running. We're hiding. We're afraid to step on out. And many times, it's easy to look around and see what people think. Moses looking around. Did you see him? He peeking around. A lot of times we want to look around and say, well, what Brother Josh think about that? What Brother Mick think about that? What did Kylie think about it? What'd she say over there? Is she like this? Is this okay? I'm notorious for being concerned about what people think, and I can let it get to me. I can let that mess with me just a little bit. And it's kind of crazy because on the other hand, I'm one of the most independent weirdos you ever run across. I mean, it's kind of crazy, but it's a trick of the enemy. He plays on areas of weakness in our life or areas he thinks. If he can get your ear, it doesn't matter if it's talking to you and tell you how awesome you are. Oh, you are awesome. So you walk around and go, oh, I am awesome. All right. He can do that. Or if that don't work for you, if he says you're awesome and you go, I know I ain't awesome. I ain't nothing. All right. Then he'll work on that. You ain't nothing. You're nothing. You're lower and low. I mean, you know, you're lower in a snake's belly, and then you'll be, oh, I mean, he'll work on you. It's just a matter of what kind of ear you got and what it is you're interested in listening to, because the devil's got a story for every one of us. There is a besetting sin that all of us have to overcome ourselves. Oh, but the grace of God and the power of the Holy Ghost changes everything. It changes everything in our life. And then we come to a place, it doesn't matter what people think. It's not that I don't care about what you think. I do care. I care whether you, you know, how things are going and whether you feel, you know, this or that. But I can't help what you think. I've got to try to please the Lord. Moses got caught up in looking around and trying to do things on his own. And the next thing, he's running for his life and he's hiding out. Listen to what the Bible said. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Amen. We cannot be concerned as men and women of God. We cannot be concerned with what all's going on over here and what all's going over there. What is that? Well, you got the liberals over here doing this. You got the conservatives over there doing that. Bless God, they're all throwing stones at us. And we're right. Quit looking. We got to quit looking to the right and to the left and worrying about what everybody else is doing and how they're doing it. How's God want us to do it? That's what I'm interested in. Does God still answer prayer? Is He still able to give us an answer through His Word? Is He still able to give us direction in our lives and in our church? Or do we have to always hunt somebody else down and ask them the question, how'd you do this? How'd you be successful? What drawed your people in? What brought that revival? Why is it that church over there is getting so many saved? Why is that one over there? Where's God at? Lord, do you know why things aren't happening here? Can you point it out to us? Because we're willing, Lord, to get in line with your word. That's what we need. Because what God done for so-and-so over here, they may have had a whole different set of circumstances than what we have. We've got to run to the Lord. Oh, listen to what the angel of the Lord told Lot. Escape for thy life. Listen, look not behind thee. Escape for your life. Don't look back. Not only do we not need to be looking to the right or to the left, but we don't need to be looking back. Amen. I ain't got time to be looking back there. Well, what was it Jesus said concerning that? No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus said about the person that focuses on what's behind them more than what's ahead. Hey, listen, it could be something back there that you're ashamed of. It could be something back there you regret and wish you hadn't have done. It could be something back there you gave up and wished you hadn't have. There's all kind of reasons we look back, but Jesus made it clear you ain't got time to look back. The prize is not back there. The harvest is not back there. The plow is not back there. Everything you need is straight ahead, sir. I'm talking to you today about looking up and going forward, how important that is that we not focus on the right and left and what's behind us, but we got to get focused on Jesus Christ. It took Moses 40 years in the wilderness to work through all of his issues and problems and get to the place God could talk to him afresh and anew and get him on board with what he had for him. It took 40 years. Some of us, it takes a long time for God to get through to us. Amen. Some of us, it takes us a long time. You might have, maybe you've been praying for the Holy Ghost for 20 years. Don't quit now. Don't be looking back. More so today do you need to be seeking for the Holy Ghost than you've ever sought before. I can assure you, there's times that I wonder, do we have no seekers in the house? Do we have nobody? I'm not getting on to this. I'm just talking, all right? And I wonder, I mean, you know, we were here 3 minutes, 5 minutes maybe. Is there anybody really seeking the Holy Ghost? Is there really anybody that has a need? We give in our prayer requests, but we don't pray 3 minutes. And we wonder why God's not moving. Folks, we've got to get serious about searching after the Lord and getting the answer from Him. Amen. If we can get an answer from God, it changes everything about the circumstance. I've told you too many times, I've gotten up at night and walked the floor worrying about money or problems or something in the youth or something about a problem or somebody's having a spat. And I'll get up, it'll bother me, and I'll walk the floor and worry over it. Oh God, what am I going to do? Oh, I failed you, Lord. Where'd I go wrong? How'd I miss? But when I got done talking about myself and my problem and just said, oh God, I know you're able to fix anything, Lord. Suddenly there comes the breakthrough and God begins to talk with me. I feel His presence. I feel His Spirit and I know something is on the move. I don't know how He's going to do it, but I know He's going to take care of the problem. And I'm here tonight because surely goodness and mercy has followed me all my life because God is a God of answering prayer. He's a prayer answering God. He is. He's a prayer-answering God. Moses got to the place he could hear what God had to say. Sometimes he has to make us lay down in green pastures. He's got to make us lay down. He's got to stop us because we're on our, just like Balaam, he was determined to do what he wanted to do. God tried to stop that man so much so he put an angel in front of him. The donkey had more of the Spirit of God than Balaam had. But Balaam could have got on board. All he had to do was say, thank you, donkey. Thank you for giving me the information. Thank you for seeing that angel. Thank you for sparing my life. Oh, God, please forgive me. I repent. We could have heard a different story out of that man than the one where he died in the enemy's camp because he still went on and done his own will. There's a lot of times God talks to you absolutely directly. You hear me now? There's a lot of time God talks to you absolutely, talks to me absolutely directly. And we still refuse to listen to what he has to say. That is the spirit of Balaam. He is in hell. You can sit right in the house of God, hear the word and know that God's talking to you, and yet find excuses to go on about your own thing. Do what you want to do to make yourself feel good. Amen. But while you do it, souls go to hell of men and women you should have touched. And while that's happening, you're on your way out the door. God doesn't want that for our life. God doesn't want that for our life, but he has to have a willing vessel. Do you really love the Lord? Do I really love him? If I do, I'll do what he says. Obedience is the only way you prove you love. You can tell your wife, your husband. You can tell your girlfriend, your boyfriend. You can tell your son, your daughter. I love you, I love you, I love you. But your actions speak louder than your words ever thought about it. And if all you enter it, you can say, I love you, God. But if everything you do lines up with your flesh and what you want and what you think, and God say, look, I'm calling you to do this. And you say, no, that's not what I feel like I want to do. I want to do it this way. I want to go that direction. I want to handle it like this. Then you're in a spirit of rebellion. I didn't mean to say all that. But you're in a spirit of rebellion, and God will deal with you because he loves you. That's what he done with Balaam. He loved Balaam. He tried to stop him. Balaam was determined. And eventually God had to let the man go. Amen. He loves you. He will try to stop you because he cares about you. He will try to alter your direction from a way of destruction back to his path. Balaam was a man of God. He was able to hear from the Lord. And yet, in spite of that, in spite of God talking directly to that man and giving him absolute word on why you cannot bless this group, why you cannot curse that one, Balaam was determined anyway to go get what he wanted. He wanted fame. He wanted fortune. He wanted his own goal. All right, moving on. Moses got to the place he was willing to listen to God instead of himself. And what happens? He gets in front of that burning bush and the Lord's able to talk to him. From there, let's jump quickly ahead to the place at the Red Sea. Here they are. Moses is standing there. He's in front of the Red Sea. He's got problems, folks, because Pharaoh is coming hard and fast. So, I mean, absolute destruction is imminent. It's no way to escape it. He cannot escape the circumstance he is in. They're either going to kill everybody or slaughter a bunch and take the rest back, and slavery is going to be worse than it's ever been before for them. What's Moses going to do? What the people do? They started looking around. They looked to the right. They looked to the left. And they looked behind them. Oh, Moses, what have you got us into? What have you done to us, Moses? Why did you get us into this situation? Exodus 14, verse 13, and Moses said unto the people after they complained, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. God is a God of today. He's not just a God of our past. He's not just the God of our future. He is the God of right now. Jesus today is able to move for us if we'll only believe him, if we'll only trust him. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Woo! Hallelujah. Don't that sound good? Well, the problem you're looking at today, I'm going to take care of it in such a way you'll never see that problem. Oh, you might have another problem, but you ain't going to have one like that because I'm going to deal with it. God is so able to deal with our problems. He's so able to deal with our situations that he can remove them, cast them into the sea of forgetfulness in a way that we never face a problem like that again. Oh, we'll face another, a new level, new devil. But that's what helps us to grow and overcome and be the triumphant men and women of God he's called us to be. God is a God of victory. God is a God of absolutes, and he wants us to be the same way. Woo! I feel pretty good about what I'm saying. Hallelujah. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14, and the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Hallelujah. If I hold my peace and let God fight my battles, victory, victory shall be mine. See, that song is from a long time ago. But that song is about people that was facing circumstances that they wanted to deal with on their own. But they learned that if I hold my peace and let God do this, he'll fight my battle. He'll fight my battle. David told all those there, all that army standing around there looking at Goliath. He said, hey, this battle's not yours, it's God's. Amen. Amen. That's what he said. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? What are you complaining for? What are you crying about? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Hallelujah. Don't you like that? Speak to them. Hey, man, listen, God ain't part of the water yet. Huh? They don't see the path. They don't see that roadway. Do you understand there's an interstate underneath that water that God prepared from the foundation of the earth before he ever created Adam? God had made a highway underneath that water that one day his people would need. God's always made a way of escape. And here he is. And they're sitting here. They're looking around. They're looking to the right. They're looking to the left. They're frantic. They're freaking out. They got the panic zone going on. Oh, man. Somebody give me my pill. I'm in trouble here. Oh, somebody help me quick. Somebody call 911. No. Hey, they're looking around. God said, hold your peace. Hold your peace. Wait for a minute. Look at me. Go forward. Man, where are we going? We're going swimming. God going to put fins on us here. Huh? Yeah. Go forward, but lift thou up thy rod. Here it is. And stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. I told Moses to do that. What about that? And divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. What do you need to do? Here's what we're called to do. God said, don't look to the right or the left. Don't be looking behind you. I've called you to do one thing. You look up. What happens when we look up? Amen. That's when we pray. When we look up and we pray, we call on the Lord and we turn it over to him. Then what happens? We're able to praise. Hallelujah. When you look up, you can praise when you look up. I have a hard time praising when I look at you. No offense. You have a hard time praising when you look at me. You know, because we're supposed to be focusing on the Lord. And if I'm focused on Brother Rusty, well, look at him sitting over there. He's a patting his foot to the wrong beat. How's he doing that? You know, look over there at Sister Ruby. She ain't even shouting. Everybody else shouting. She ain't shouting. I can't praise. I can't do what I need to do when I'm looking at everybody else. But if I can look up and take my eyes off of you and start looking on him, man, I can praise my God. And when I start praying to him and praising to him, the power's going to come. You better know the very thing that we've been wanting to do on our own. God shows up and does it for us. The power to deliver. The power to set free. The power to heal. The power to break and destroy chains and yokes and bondages and set the captive free. Jesus is able to do it, folks, through the power of his might, not ours. God's able. Don't be looking behind you. Don't be looking at everything else and everybody else. Look at God. Focus on him. Peter, when he focused on Jesus, walked on the impossibilities of walking on the water. He walked on that stormy water. Jesus didn't make a little flat spot like a sidewalk for him. No, 10,000 times no. He was walking on waves 30 foot tall. But as long as he was looking toward Jesus, he walked on everything that come at him. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Amen. But lift thou up the rod and stretch it out over the sea and divide it. God is calling us to do something. Don't just sit there and wait on something to happen. Obey the Lord. Go forward. Divide that water. God will move for you. If you'll take one step, he'll take two. Brother Dan sings it sometimes, and 99 won't do, and all kind of things like that. Amen. We got to move forward and make the step out for God. Oh, he'll meet us, Brother Rusty. He'll meet us, and he'll do things that'll get everybody's attention. He'll do things that'll cause the sleeper to wake up. He'll do things to cause the young people to have revival. I'm worried about you, young people. I'll just tell you. Amen. I'm worried about you. You don't have the fire and the zeal that you had only a few months ago. I know why. It's hell's fighting you every step of the way. You can't take an inch from the devil without a fight and a war. And I can assure you, the struggles you're having right now, oh, it's not so much personal. It's hell on the loose trying to stop you. Hell knows its days are short. Mom and Dad, the reason we're fighting what we're fighting, the devil knows that Jesus is about to stand and blow that and have that trumpet blown. He knows that the Lord's about to come back. He's fighting us every step. That's the reason our marriages are under attack. That's the reason our jobs are under attack. That's the reason everything we're facing is facing, because hell is against us. But glory to God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God's not dead, Brother Rusty. God's not dead. He's still alive. He's still alive. You don't serve a dead God. If you do, get out. Amen. But he's alive. I feel him right now, Brother Eddie. He's alive. Why do we want to carry these chains? Why do we want to wallow in these places of trouble and problems? Why do we want to embrace things that will not get us deliverance? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside everything that's hindering you. Get rid of the weights and the sins. Get free for Christ that God can use you. I don't want to feel pain. I don't want to be bound. And I know we all feel pain, but I'm saying, I don't want to just let it hang around. I don't want to give place. I mean, you give place to the devil, man, everything moves in. Physical attack. Huh? Mental stress. It happens. I know we have a lot of issues today with fear, anxiety. I understand. I know that is a major issue, and it is real, folks. It is real. Oh, but Jesus is even more real. Hey man, He's more real than the mountain you face. He's more real than the struggles you have. He's more real than the temptation you have to deal with every day. Jesus is able. He's able. Oh, but we tie His hands because we say, "Ah, I just don't think He'd help me with that. I don't think He'll do that for me. I don't think He's going to do that for our church." Oh, we're too far gone. We're not too far gone. Hey man, we're right where we need to be moved on by God. Hallelujah. We no worse than Samson grinding at that mill, blind and binded. Amen. We no worse than him. I can assure you, God is able to do more for us in these last moments than we've ever dreamed of having seen in our days. Amen. Some of us have seen some great revivals. Brother Dan back there. We can talk about it, Brother Dan. We can tell them about what we've seen 30 years ago in our lifetime. God moving in a mighty way. Amen. But I can assure you, God's got more. He's got more now than He's ever had to give to the church before, because we're in a day when we need the Spirit of God to be real. Amen. Some of us don't want it. We don't want the real. We like the substitute because it's cheaper, it's easier, and it doesn't bother me as much. Amen. Paul said, brethren, I count not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward. The only way we're going to make it, folks, not only look up, but press forward. Go forward. Go forward. Do what you know to do. Amen. It doesn't have to be some great, astounding thing. Just do what you know is right and do it right. Amen. Do what you know is right and do it right. Yes. Amen. We gotta look up. Amen. I ain't got time to look down at those waves. I ain't got time to look over here at this group and that group and look back here at the enemy coming. I ain't got time to focus on those things. You ever been in a real hurry needing to do something fast and you can't get it done because of the pressure? Yeah. Yeah, I have. I've been in a situation knowing, man, I got something getting ready. I got a crash coming my way. Some people panic. And when things are getting out of control, they panic. And some people, something's getting ready to happen. Now, sometimes my driving, I'm a pretty reckless driver. And I get off the road a little bit. Or I'll veer. I'll be looking backward like that or something. I'm all over. And my wife, there's times I turn around and she's the first thing I see. And I see this look on her face. And then I look to see what she's looking at. And then I go... And I curve at the left. And I say, "Why didn't you scream?" She said, "I couldn't. I couldn't. Now, the other day, she was able to get one out. Saved us all. Hey, man, I'm glad of that. Hey, man, sometimes we get in a situation. I mean, man, I've been there. I've been in one of them deals where I'm hung out there like an American flag on the side of one of them horses. And I know it's all over with. I see gates coming, trees, all kind of stuff. I'm just going to get wiped out. Just going to get mutilated. And it's hard to make a decision there. What do I do? Because, you know, everything's out of control. But, you know, it's amazing that if you can allow the Lord to help you, you can think right in the middle. It's almost like He throws it in slow motion and you just kind of make some decisions here. And next thing you know, you're back on track. Why? Because the Lord's able. The Lord's able. He's able to say, time has no effect on Him. He can stop the clock, folks, and straighten you up. Put you back on that horse. I told you, one day I was riding, Sherry come see me. I was just a-courting with her. We hadn't even tied the knot or nothing. We was a-courting. And I was trying to ride some horses, and I got on this old big buckskin. And I tell you, one of the worst fears you can have as a trainer is for a horse to do a flip and land on you and drive that horn right through your stomach or your chest. It'll kill you, okay? It's a bad deal. And I was riding a big old horse, and man, she was wilder than a buck. And I got on her, and I was working with her, and man, all of a sudden, just total unexpected, she just did a complete flip. Just right up, and here we come down. I'm sitting right square in that saddle. We're headed for the ground. And it was one of those slow-mos, and I'm going, I'm ruined. I'm hurt bad. I know it, because she's coming down. She's going to drive me. I'm on hard clay. She's going to drive me right there. I know this is a miracle. It's the reason I'm telling you. Amen. And I know I'm a dead man. Only God knows what took place, because when she hit the ground and drove that saddle horn into the dirt, I was laying laying to the side of her. She rolled one way, I rolled the other. I don't know how that happened. It never happened like that before. I've been mashed and crashed. But that situation was detrimental to my life and health, and the Lord spared me. God is able to stop the clock and move you. He's able to do things that you cannot explain, and people will say you're a liar, Brother Tim. Oh, now, if you had that, what they said you had, you wouldn't be like his. God's able to move shingles. He's able to heal your body. He can move cancer out. He can set you free. He can move your car. He can take you out of harm's. God can do whatever he wants to do, because he's God. And because he loves you. Amen. Because he loves you. Amen. God's able, folks. Let's stand. God is able. We need to look up and go forward. Amen. Let's take on a new idea here of our own selves about what, yeah, go in the grace of God and make it. Let's do it. Go forward. Look up. Amen. Let's look to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Let's lean on him and trust him. I don't know, Brother Eddie. I don't know, Sister Angie. I don't know. I don't know how you're going to get what you need. I don't know if your problem, I don't know if you got physical issues tonight. I don't know if your bank account's broke. I don't know if the bankers are calling you right now and you're ducking them. I don't know what kind of situations you're facing, if your marriage is going down the tube or whatever. Happening, but I know one thing. I know a man that can make changes overnight, and you can go from the prison to the palace in one night. If you'll just hang on to him long enough, he can get it done. He's still able, folks. He's still able. Quit looking at the problem. Start looking at Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let's give him praise right now. Hallelujah. Oh,